Welcome everyone to our worship together, wherever you are. This week has once again been very busy for us here in Skegness, although Wednesday was a bit slow due to the weather. Margaret had yet another fall and has once again been admitted to Boston Hospital. She had to wait in A&E from Tuesday until Friday morning before being placed in a ward. We've been unable to contact her as she didn't take her phone with her and the hospital won't put calls through to her. Her son Wayne did visit on Saturday and sorted out her phone. We continue to hold Margaret in our prayers. Then on Wednesday, as we were closing up the shop, Eleanor had a fall and had to go to Pilgrim for an x-ray. She has broken her right wrist and is now in a plaster and sling. She did come in on Thursday, but found it too much. Fortunately, Kathy and Graham were able to help out. And then on Friday, one of our regular customers in the cafe, Pat, volunteered and was a great help. Thank you, Pat. Tony, Eleanor's husband, came in with her as we were closing up on Friday and helped bring the stock in from outside. We pray for Eleanor and pray that she is patient enough to stay at home until her arm is fully recovered. On a more positive note, it was Katrina's birthday on Tuesday, and on Monday next week it's Graham's birthday, so happy birthday, Graham. Well, now let us prepare for worship. Let us pray. Lord, we approach you, acknowledging your holy love and your perfect intent for our lives. We gather to hear your voice and to recognise your Spirit's leading for our lives. Lord, we come to you. Let our hearts be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that we find in you. Lord, we know that all our weaknesses will be stripped away by the power, the very power of your love. Amen. Let's sing, Lord, I come to you.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I have in you. Thank you.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In Psalm 1 we read, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like the chaff that wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Thanks be to God for his word. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, you have called us to be your children. So we gather in the freedom made known by your love, the love that sets us free. Lord, as we've received this love, help us to share it freely inside and outside these walls. Lord, we come before you as your family in this place, and we acknowledge that we are your children, and we rejoice that we are. Today we may hear familiar words and stories that soothe our souls, but you, O Lord, will stir in us new understanding to refresh and renew our faith. Humbly we bow before you, our God, who frees us from the shackles that we may not realize are ensnaring us, frees us to be the people you meant us to be. So, Lord, we pray that we allow ourselves to be led by you each and every day. Lord, guard us, guide us, keep us, feed us, for we have no help but thee. Amen. Let's sing, "Lead Us, Heavenly Father, Lead Us." So during August, our theme was spiritual treasure. We reminded ourselves of the lengths people will go to in order to accumulate earthly treasure. But for those of us who accept Jesus as their Lord and Saviour and follow his example and commands as his followers, our wealth is in our spiritual treasure. Our spiritual treasure is the promise of eternal life, life beyond the grave. But spiritual treasure is not just about life after death. It's about this earthly life as well. God gives each of us the gift of his Holy Spirit to help us through this earthly life, a life that is just so full of problems and temptations. The Holy Spirit is God living in us, and this shouldn't be too hard for us to take on board. After all, God created us in his image. So Christianity is not about a prosperity of earthly treasure. Our treasure is godly or spiritual treasure. But we also saw how Jesus demands a total commitment to the kingdom of God in this life. if we are to avoid our inheritance of heavenly treasure becoming for us lost treasure. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it." Today, we shall hear that in Luke 14, verse 33, Jesus says, "In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." So just like with anything that is worth having, there is a cost. So our theme this month is the cost of our spiritual treasure. Well, more of that later, but let's come again to God in prayer. Let's pray. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your guidance and love, for your presence embedded in our lives through your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you offer us counsel. Thank you that for your blessings and the hope that you give us. Thank you for choosing to walk beside us and for being with us on every pathway, the easy ones to walk and the difficult ones to walk, as we go through our lives here on earth. Amen. So praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like thee his praise should sing. Let's sing, "Praise my soul, the King of heaven." Christian discipleship is not just some theoretical, abstract ideal, but a tough reality. and Jesus demands a total commitment to the kingdom of God. Indeed, uncompromising loyalty to God is called for. And when Jesus invites us to follow him, it's not popularity he's after, but dedicated disciples. This morning we shall see how he uses what is to us startling language to describe the lengths we may have to go to be dedicated disciples. He spells out some of the choices we may be forced to make in order that Jesus comes out on top in what can often be the radical and painful decisions we have to make. Jesus doesn't just invite us to follow him, but he invites us to make major changes to our lives in order to do so. So our theme this morning is, be prepared to change. Prepared to change ourselves, the church, society, but especially our hearts. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you with praise and worship. We come to you with thankful hearts. But even then, we cannot begin to thank you enough for all that you have done and are doing in our lives. With all that is going on around us at this time, we so easily forget that we can trust you for the future. We so easily forget to thank you and be grateful for what we have. Be with us today, our Lord and God. Weave our hearts and minds together in worship. Take us in our walk of faith and move us on. Lord, we confess that we often stumble from day to day, failing to consider our lives in the light of our faith. We measure ourselves by the standards of society, afraid of what others might think, not what you might think. We become enslaved by worldly influences, filling our minds with ideas that do not feed the soul, and filling our lives with things that bring only fleeting pleasure. Lord, forgive us our failings and help us as we worship you now to stop and think and to recommit to the ways taught us by Jesus and declare openly that you are the one we wish to follow. For you give us strength. You always go before us and behind us, and you take us gently by the hand, and in faith we set out on life's journey together. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift of forgiveness. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labour and not to ask for reward, except that of knowing that we are doing your will. O Lord, Lord Jesus, we have promised to serve you to the end. Be thou forever near us, our master and our friend. We shall not fear the battle if you are by our side, nor wander from the pathway if you are our guide. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's sing, O Jesus, I Have Promised. Let us now pray for ourselves and for the needs of others. Let's pray. Loving Lord, your compassion knows no bounds, and you care for every part of the globe. We pray for those suffering as a result of the recent earthquakes in Afghanistan, those whose homes are destroyed, those who have lost loved ones, villages isolated as a result of the destruction of bridges and roads, those who have been evacuated and who now live in overcrowded makeshift camps, those who have lost fields and crops. Give wisdom to the government of Afghanistan as it seeks to implement a recovery program. Loving Lord, you are the Prince of Peace. We pray for an end to all violence and warfare throughout the world. We hold before you those who are suffering as a result of war and civil war, those who have lost loved ones, those who have been injured, those who have lost homes and livelihoods, those who are fearful. You know, Lord, through modern technology, we can get frighteningly close to what is happening in these areas, but we still don't really know what it feels like to be amongst it all. We pray that you would plant peace in the hearts of those who seek only to destroy, and meet the needs of all who suffer. We especially ask for your comfort and strength for the peoples of Ukraine and Gaza, and we pray too for an end to the ordinary people, to ordinary people being used as shields and sacrifices for terrorist groups. Lord, you teach us to love one another. We pray for all those who have been victims of violent crime, for families of murder victims, for those who seek to support them, for the police and the justice system. We pray for those traumatized by what they've witnessed, those who struggle to find hope for the future, those who keep asking, what's the point? Lord, we give thanks for and remember in our prayers our church family gathered here today. We pray for those who cannot be with us, for those who minister to us in so many ways, often not seen, for the sick and bereaved. Bring them your healing and comfort. And Lord, in the stillness, we bring you the names of those known to us. Lord, you call us to bear our crosses. Give those who need it strength to bear their cross and wisdom to know the way forward. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost. Loving Lord, grant to all who are struggling the knowledge of your encouraging presence, the aid of your strength, and the power of your peace. We ask our prayers in Jesus' name, and as he taught us, so we pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Lord, through many dangers, through many snares, we have already come. Lord, through the fire and through the flame, but we were not overwhelmed. For we have known grace upon grace. You have shown love, unfailing love. And we believe the grace that brought us safe this far is the grace that will lead us all home. Thank you, Father, for your love and grace. Amen. Let's sing Grace That Will Lead Us Home.
Too many snares,
So once again, we pause to make our offering to the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we ask you to bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make, not just today, but every day, as we use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to serve you and each other, as we care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth. Lord, we once again say thank you with all of our being for the risen Christ, who is the centre of our lives today and every day. Amen. Be prepared to change has been the call of God since that fatal day in the Garden of Eden when Adam ate the forbidden fruit. It's a call repeated down the ages from the Old Testament prophets right through to Jesus himself. And it's a call which the church cannot shy away from today. We read in the book of Deuteronomy that having rescued his people from slavery, God lays out how they should live in the land he is giving them. He offers a choice between a way of life and a way of death. If his people follow his commands and live their life governed by his laws, then things will go well for them and they will prosper. If they do not, in particular if they live and worship the way their new neighbours do, things will not go well. Indeed, they will perish. The choice is stark. But the passage I want to bring to you now focuses on and stresses the benefits of following the ways of God. It's the same choice facing every generation of God's people. Let's hear now from the book of Deuteronomy.
The reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 to 20. God says, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abram, Isaac, and Jacob." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
In those words from Deuteronomy, God is making it perfectly plain that the people he created must follow his instructions on how to live their lives. As I've said so many times, we must follow the Maker's instructions if we are to prosper here on this earth and then in heaven. This makes total sense. Martin Luther King famously said, "I have a dream. It is that one day everybody accept God's gracious gift of his son Jesus and receive salvation. What a glorious world we would live in then." Well, I agree wholeheartedly with that. In the gospel today, we find Jesus travelling to Jerusalem. Crowds are travelling with him, enthusiastic to join up as disciples. And Jesus speaks plainly to them. He has to, because they seem blissfully unaware that he is on his way to danger in Jerusalem. Jesus gives the people a stark choice. They can follow him or not, but he reminds them in no uncertain terms of the cost of their spiritual treasure. Discipleship means committing oneself to carrying the cross, prioritizing this over family and possessions, and entering into this commitment with eyes wide open. Well, none of this had apparently occurred to the crowds. Let's hear now from Luke's Gospel.
The reading is from Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So Jesus said, "And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." This is powerful. And so I want to pause for a moment for us to remind ourselves just what a huge sacrifice Jesus made for each one of us. And we're going to do this by singing again, a hymn we usually reserve for Easter, but it's truly worth singing now. Let's sing, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." So Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Wow, pretty harsh words. And you may have noticed that our gospel readings in recent weeks have had several hard challenges from Jesus. And this week's gospel reading is no exception. I wonder, in today's society, can anyone dare preach on Luke 14, verse 33, and challenge people to give up all their possessions in order to become a true disciple? The gospel may be good news, but it's not easy news. Like so many things in life, whether for individuals or for whole societies, choices can often be difficult and challenging. Carrying the cross is a brutally powerful metaphor for a life in which self is put last. If disciples want to follow the Master, they must carry the cross as he did, as he was led out to die at Calvary. You know, people accompanied Jesus with great enthusiasm, but they hadn't got the slightest idea that he was on the way to the cross. They were like modern-day groupies who want to be seen with the current pop idol or celebrity. They had no idea of the risks of Jesus' journey, or indeed the cost of discipleship, which is a prerequisite to spiritual treasure. In fact, they were probably more like spectators than disciples. But Jesus issues a challenge. "With me," he says, "it's all or nothing." Then, using what to us is really quite startling language, he says that his real disciples need to hate their nearest and dearest, and even life itself, when the call to discipleship comes. Well, before we go any further, I have to say that the original meaning of the startling word hate is not quite how we use it today. Of course, we are not to live lives of hatred towards our families or anyone else for that matter. This would go straight in the face of Jesus' commandment to love one another. Jesus didn't come to poison family relationships, but rather, regrettably but inevitably, he brings a division between those who respond to his call and those who reject it. But what Jesus is saying is that we cannot allow anything to get in the way of our relationship with Jesus. In any situation where we might be forced to choose, Jesus must come out tops. And often, that will be a radical and painful decision. Make no mistake, it is tough to be a true disciple. Uncompromising loyalty is called for as the cost of our spiritual treasure. And for the majority of people Jesus was addressing at the time, this would have meant a radical and painful change. But Jesus says, "If you truly want to be my disciples, be prepared to change. Change yourselves, the church, society, and in particular, your hearts." Becoming a disciple of Jesus has such far-reaching consequences. But as I've said on so many occasions, the rewards are simply out of this world. The minute we give our lives to Jesus, we embark on a risky journey, and so it requires forethought about the consequence of our commitment. As Christians, we are living in hostile territory, and Jesus' words are not promising us an easy life. If we've chosen to follow Jesus, we have done so understanding that his way is one of hardship and sacrifice, not one of quick wins and comfort. I suppose it's not surprising that given the stark reality of the cost of our spiritual treasure, most people opt out of trying to achieve it. And they're doing so at an alarming rate. Christianity, as a background to people's lives and moral decisions, and to the government, and to the social life of Britain, has almost been vanquished. Attempts to shake Christians from their complacency and apathy and change seem to have fallen on deaf ears. I wonder, is that because even those who profess to be Christians are more like spectators rather than disciples, afraid to accept the cost of their spiritual treasure because of the changes necessary. They are simply not prepared to change. And people today seem blissfully unaware of the dangers that lie ahead. The danger if the Christian faith is allowed to be totally sidelined in our society. But it's not just the decline in Christianity we should be concerned about, but the simultaneous rise in other faiths. Mosques and temples of Muslims, Hindus and Sikhs are thriving. And there's been a dramatic growth of Islam in the past 40 years. It's now the second largest religion in the UK. It's time, it really is time for the Christian church in this country to be prepared to change. If we truly want to be disciples and are prepared to fully trust Jesus, then there is nothing to frighten us or worry us. It's actually an exhilarating time to be alive and to be a Christian. Whatever we do, and whatever we need to do and to be, to tackle the declining Christianity, God will provide. He will take us and reshape us, but only if we allow him to. He can change us, but we have to want him to. In fact, if we fully take on board our role as Christians, and that is to live according to God's instructions, instructions set out in the book of the law, which we now have as a substantial part of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy, then we will be prosperous and successful. You know, I can say that with full authority, because this is exactly what the Lord said to Joshua as he was about to lead the Israelites into the Promised Land. In fact, our Bible study passage for this week is Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, where we read, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." So there you have it. God's will for us, like his will for Joshua, is that we will be prosperous and successful. Here, in what is referred to as the Joshua Code, we are told that if we keep the word of God in our minds and in our mouths, day and night, and put it into practice, we will be prosperous and successful. But the Lord doesn't define success like many in our world do today. For the believer, success can be defined as the ability to find the will of God for your life, and then doing it. You know, as the Israelites stood on the banks of the Jordan after 40 years of wilderness wanderings, God's main emphasis for them was his word, this book of the law. And the Joshua Code incorporated three important issues. The emphasis for Joshua and for us is about making Bible study a constant practice. We are to meditate on it. That is, we're to go over and over and over again God's truths in our minds, to deepen its impression on us and to set it in our hearts. And the Joshua Code also incites a completed purpose. By keeping God's word in our minds and speaking it with our mouths, we are enabled and empowered to do what it says, to apply it to our own lives. This call is to do everything written in the book of the law. Our completed purpose in the eyes of God will be to move beyond simply reading and studying the Bible to an act of obedience as we put these words into practice in our own experiences. Then we come to the good bit, a conditional promise. A promise that if we keep to everything written in the Bible, then you will be prosperous and successful. You better believe that, because that's what God is doing with us right here and now, in this place, as he calls us to reshape history and bring about revival. When God's Spirit moves among people, then there are new creations, massive transformations, all from the Master. We will be prosperous and successful. If we want to stand against the eternal conflict with evil, evil that is ruining our country, indeed our world, then we must be prepared to take our faith seriously, to take up the cross and live our lives as we were created to live and as it's written in Scripture. To commit to Jesus is to redefine our priorities, and those who are thinking about it must count the cost and see if the price is one they are prepared to pay. Only when the church returns to its true discipleship will it again flourish. We have already made a commitment to follow Christ, but are we prepared to pay the true price? Are we prepared to carry out our own sort of risk assessment? And are we prepared to accept the results or just brush them under the carpet of modern society? So many people today are living in a virtual world of Facebook and other such social hideaways and are cushioning themselves from reality. To follow Jesus is not to be victorious, but courageous. How much are we prepared to engage with the real problems that face our world? Injustice and deceit and contempt for others? This morning, we came together here to praise and worship Jesus. Turn now from this place and walk in faith and confidence. Remake your commitment to Jesus, for in you God has made a new creation. He has taken the old clay and reshaped it into something new and beautiful for the kingdom, and nothing can prevail against that. So be prepared to change. Yourselves, the church, society, your hearts, despite the cost, because bottom line, it's worth it. My dear friends, who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers, other lives to bring? Who will lead the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for him will go? And I pray that our universal response to that is by their call of mercy, by their my grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Saviour, we are thine. Amen. Let's sing Who is on the Lord's Side.
Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers, other lives to bring? Yeah.
Lord Jesus, we want to follow you, but we are pulled in many directions. As we go from this place, help us to root ourselves in your word. Give us the courage to speak truth to injustice, that your kingdom may come and that your will be done. And as so, as we go in love and peace, filled with the Holy Spirit and committed to change, may we serve you and your people with the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.